We'll continue to worship through the preaching and the hearing of God's word this morning. If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the book of Haggai. If you're using a pew Bible, that'll be hymn or page number 791 in the pew Bible. If you're trying to find it in your Bible, remember it's small. It's only two chapters. It's a little difficult to find. But if you start maybe in the book of Matthew in the New Testament, go backwards a couple books. So you'd have Matthew, Malachi, Zechariah, and then Haggai. But if you turn too quick, you'll miss it. Last week we started to consider our ways, if you recall. This episode takes place around 520 BC, a good while ago. The people came back from exile from a foreign land. They've been back in the country for about 18 years. They started to rebuild the temple of the Lord. But for various reasons, fear of the government, fear of the peoples around them, the idols of their heart of chasing after the things of the world, trying to get enough stuff, trying to get enough money, they stopped building the temple. And it laid there for 18 years. And Haggai comes with the voice of God and says, consider your ways. Consider your ways of why it's been so difficult for you, why you're not finding contentment, why you're not finding success, why you're not finding rest. And he says, consider your ways. He goes, you guys are living in paneled houses while my house lies in ruins. And so for that time, for that people, they were called to build the temple of God. There in that town, in the community, for there they would see that God is holy, that he's magnificent, that he's awesome, that he's mighty, and he longs to dwell with his people. But he needed to be approached through sacrifice. It's a picture of the gospel. God wanted this built. He wanted the gospel to be exalted in that land, in that nation, so people would see that he would draw all peoples to himself. Christ is the fulfillment. Christ is the ultimate temple. But for us, we're called to the similar task, promoting, enjoying, and building up the glory of God in gospel living. We no longer have a temple in one location. We are the temple of God as God's people. And we're called to make much of Christ, that people would see Christ, that he's changed, that he's holy, that he's magnificent, that he's beautiful, and he welcomes sinners because Jesus died for them. And so we asked ourselves to consider our ways. This morning, we're asking the question, well, what did they do? They heard the call from Haggai, consider your ways, and start to build. And this morning, we'll see what they decided to do. So if you have your scriptures, Haggai 1, 12 to 15. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. In the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us. Lord, you call us to find our highest joy in your glory. The glory of Christ. The great prophet, the great priest, the great king, the great Savior, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Lord, I pray that we would grow in our awe of him and that we would make much of him in our lives, in our ministries, Lord, you call us to glorify you and to enjoy you forever, and we get off track. We become fearful. We chase after the newest, latest, and greatest things. Good gifts, but gifts that we distort for our own ends. And Lord, we pray for forgiveness of that. So Lord, help us to change. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, well, what did they do? They heard the call from Haggai to consider their ways, to turn, to change, and to build. What did they do? They obeyed. They obeyed. And how in the world did that happen? If you're like me and you're used to reading the prophets and you're used to hearing people calling people to repent and change, normally it seems like they don't. And when I often talk with people who are struggling in relationships or struggling with issues, a common refrain that they say, and maybe you said yourself, is they won't change. They are who they are. Things will never be different. This morning we're reminded that God changes things. God stirs people's hearts. His name is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of angel armies. And people do change because God is changing people. When you think and consider the ministry of Christ, how he takes somebody who is dead for 4 days, a dead heart, and he causes it to beat, that they can walk out of a cave instantaneously. The same God can change the hearts and lives of people. He resurrects them and gives them a living hope. We are called to make much of the glory of God. We are called to make much of God in our lives, in our ministries. And this morning we're asking, what will cause us to do that? We're asking this question this morning. What will drive and sustain us as we seek to pursue the glory of God in gospel living and gospel ministries? As we seek to make much of Christ, what will drive and sustain us? We're asking this question this morning. And the first thing we see that's required is the faithful hearing and the faithful preaching of God's word. The faithful hearing and preaching of God's word. Look at verse 12 of the text. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. We do not know much about this prophet Haggai. His name means my feast. We don't know exactly where he came from, how old he is, and things like that. But one thing we know, he's a faithful preacher of God's word. He's called to a wayward people, people who lost their ways, people who thought they were doing okay, but they fell to the fear of their culture, they fell to the idols of their heart, the idols of stuff, and he goes and proclaims to them, you're missing out on life. You're missing out on what God has intended for you. For them, it was to build the temple. He says, stop seeking after your own stuff and seek the things that manifest and glorify Christ in the gospel. Now, the preaching of God's word happens in many ways. This is a primary way here with me preaching, and not everybody's called to this kind of preaching ministry. But you're called to love people. And one of the most loving things you can do is when you see someone walking down a path of destruction, somebody who's not following after the things of God, is lovingly confront them. Cause them to consider your ways. If we want to make much of Christ in our lives and gospel living, we must share the truths of Christ with those around us, with those whom we love. Haggai, I'm sure, was probably scared. He was a little bit intimidated. You don't know how they're going to respond, how they're going to react, how they will accept you or reject you. But he's faithful. That's what we're called to do. Faithfully call people to Christ. Call people to consider that the road that they're going is a path of destruction, heartache. It's a path that looks promising. It's a path that looks, it'll bring them joy. But if you're not rooted in Christ, this God who made you, this God who died on the cross for your sins, if that's not essential and center of your life, you're missing. And we're called to share that truth with those around them, no matter the cost. We are called to be faithful. You can do that in your schools. You can do that in your work. You can do that as you walk down the sidewalk. Pray for opportunities to preach, to share God's word. And it also requires the hearing. For God's word does not return void, it says in Scripture. It will set out and do what its intended purpose is. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living and active. It will convict, it will transform, it will change. We're also called to hear. To hear what it says. We're not called just to be hearers of his word, but doers. It's the sense of just hearing, not just to hear, but to hear to where you're motivated to action. I'll tell you a brief story about myself. I was a lover of alternative rock music. Still am. But there was a certain group that became an idol in my life. I came to faith when I was 21. I was just reading God's word for probably 6 months or so. And so this group I would listen to when I was happy. I would listen to when I was angry. I knew everything about the band. I had all their bootlegs. I could tell you everything about them. And for whatever reason, God in his grace, because I was reading his word, convicted me one night. In the middle of my sleep, he says, "You know what? You love them way more than me." I'm thinking, "What are you talking about? When you're happy, you listen to them. And they're totally anti what I have for you and for the world. When you're angry, you vent your frustration through them and not me." It was an overwhelming conviction. Like I said, no one came to me and said, you should do something about this. It was just me reading the word of God and having an ear to hear. To where for me, that idol, I had to get out of my life. So I took this stuff and had to get rid of it. It was just an example of you hear, but it's here to where it cuts to the heart. Where you analyze, you consider, but then you act. We can't just be hearers that just hear, but hearers that do. You know what it's like to ask somebody to do something, and they say they'll do it, but then they don't. So being a good hearer is somebody who hears and puts it into action. So what will drive and sustain us to pursue the glory of God and gospel living? The proper preaching and hearing of his word. The second thing we see in this passage is a proper fear of the Lord. A proper fear of the Lord. Look at verse 12 again. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Do you understand the distance between you and God? Did you ever just stop and think about this being who is God? This one who speaks and planets, sun, and stars leap into existence by the word of his power. We witnessed the solar eclipse not too long ago. How things are intricately fine-tuned and amazing. That for whatever reason, this thing called Earth just floats in the sky. to reconsider that. The universe is vast and huge. The Milky Way galaxy itself is like 100,000 light years across. Just our galaxy. And there's billions and billions of stars within that. Stars that make our sun look like a pebble. God spoke these things into existence, and this God created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you understand the distance between your supposed power and His power? We like to think we're all that. We like to think the world revolves around us, but God, who's the one who gives life, and He's the one who takes away. He is the mighty God. The fear of the Lord. Some say it's an understanding of who God is that moves to proper action. It's reverence. It's awe. But it's a reverence and awe that moves to proper action. In the book of Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's understanding who He is, what He's made, and who I am, and I need to listen. He's revealed a way to live, and I need to listen and hear what He says. In Psalm 112:1, it says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. You can say you fear the Lord, but if you do not delight in His commandments, there's something out of balance. In Acts 9:31, it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That's from Acts 9:31. The church had peace because it walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We live in a culture, we live in a society where I don't think we give much thought to God in His being, in His power, in His majesty. We've turned it into a show. We've turned it into Him to just, somebody just fulfills our needs, a genie in a bottle, but He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord Almighty. One author puts it like this when talking about the fear of the Lord. He says, some people listen with attention and with interest and submission. We are usually good at the first two. We usually listen with attention and with interest, but rarely do we submit to the things of God. It's the last one we need help with. A proper fear of the Lord moves to proper actions in our lives. So as you hear His word, as you read His word, and it speaks to a sin in your life or an idol in your heart, what is your reaction? Is it to quickly dismiss? Is it quickly to make an excuse? Or something that cuts to your heart to saying, yeah, I need to change. I've been going down and chasing the wrong things. I need to turn. We need a proper fear of the Lord. The third thing we see that will sustain and drive us to pursue the glory of God is knowing He is with us. You're not alone in this. He's right there. In verse 13, then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, I am with you, declares the Lord. The people, as they start to gather, as they start to consider to rebuild this temple in a land where it's a mixed people, in a society that did not want it to be built, they probably had fear. They probably had doubts. They probably had frustrations. And God says, I am with you. I'm right there. That might be one of the hardest things to grasp because we can't see Him. We can't have Him right here as we would have our father or our mother or our son and our daughter But he is there. He is omnipresent. He is with his people. And as you seek to bring glory to God, as you seek to honor Christ and you mess things up or you try to start a ministry and it doesn't go the way you want to, he says, I am with you. I'm right there. When you want to glorify God and you struggle and you run into obstacles and you fall into sin and temptation and you want to quit, he says, I am with you. When you're pursuing ministry with other brothers and sisters in the Lord and you come into an argument, as I'm sure they did when they were building the temple, know that he is with you. God is bigger than your problems. God is bigger than your obstacles. And he says, I am with you. You're not alone. Don't believe the lie that you are alone. He's with you. 2 Chronicles 32:8 says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Jesus, when he gives the great commissions to make much of him, to make disciples, to advance his kingdom, he says, all authority has been given unto me. Go and make disciples, and I am with you. As you seek to glorify God, as you seek to do ministries, you'll feel alone, and we need that encouragement. He is with us. He is with us. The fourth thing we see, these are all essential, and this is maybe the most important thing that we need as we seek to drive and sustain our pursuit for the glory of God, is the stirring of the Lord. We need the stirring of the Lord. Verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. God's spirit moved. He stirred the leaders, and he stirred the people to go about this business of building the temple. God needs to stir his church that we can glorify him. We must be filled with the Spirit. God, when he enters his life, he puts his Spirit within us. He changes us. He makes us long and desire Christ, but we get off track. We start chasing the things of this world. We are called to be filled with his Spirit. We are called to be filled again and again. He's still there, but there's this idea that we need to be filled, and it's the idea of dying more and more to our own desires, our selfish desires and dreams, and yielding to the things of Christ. We see example of this in Ephesians 5 when it says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in us. We need the Spirit of God. Our salvation is a gift from God through his Spirit, and his lives to change us is a working of his Spirit in us. It requires the Spirit of God. In Isaiah 64:1-2, it says this, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, and the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. We want to see change. We want to see people's lives change. Pray for the Spirit of God to come down, to change us, to change his people, to change the people in this community, to change the people in this nation and the world. It requires the stirring of the Lord. And the last thing we need to remember as we seek to pursue the glory of God, remember it's all about him. Remember it's all about Jesus Christ. It says, they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day in the 6th month, in the second year of Darius the king. It's been about 23 days since the first call of Haggai to consider their ways. It's been 23 days and now they start to build. Perhaps they needed to let the message sink in. Sometimes they just maybe needed to pray. But it was all about the Lord their God. When you go into gospel ministries, when you go into gospel living, when you join a church, know this. People will frustrate you. People will let you down. If you're pursuing God only because of other people helping you or what you get from other people, you're missing the point. To pursue the glory of God in your life, in gospel living, in gospel ministries, and to serve God, it can't be about anybody else, but it must be for the Lord Jesus Christ, who dies to save sinners, who died to save you. He must be enough. So when you feel frustrated and you fall into a temptation, remember the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're struggling to do ministries with others and you feel frustrated, remember it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's for Him and His glory. And the question is, do you know Him this morning? Do you know this Jesus, the God of the Scriptures, not the God of your imaginations, not the God of the History Channel, not the God that you learn about maybe in the colleges, in some seminaries that are horrific, but the God of the Scriptures. Do you know this Jesus? When you grasp the depth of His love for you, when you grasp that He's made you, when you grasp that He wants to give you life and life eternal, life full of hope, life of forgiveness, it should make it easy to glorify God, to make much of Him in your heart, to have a life of praise. So what will drive and sustain us as we pursue the glory of God? The faithful hearing and preaching of His word. A proper fear of the Lord that moves to proper action. Knowing that He is with us. Pray for the Spirit of God to move in your heart and the heart of His people. And remember, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray that You would stir, that You would move, that You would forgive. Lord, there's much that we seek after, that we chase, and we miss the mark. And Lord, I pray that You would forgive. Lord, I pray as Your church, as Your people, that we would be known as those who make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we honor Him. That we're quick to forgive. That we're quick to repent. And that You would be honored. Lord, we thank You that You're always with us. Lord, I pray that You would stir and move. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.